right, time once again for our movie retrospective show.
Yeah.
This time we're going back to the 70s once again, doing The Stepford Wives.
Yeah, this is an old classic. I remember growing up as a kid, this one was mentioned a lot. It was kind of a part of 70s and 80s culture.
Well, even today, I think everybody knows that concept, you know what I mean? Which is kind of amazing because, you know, it didn't do, like, it did kind of, like, well at the box office back in the 1970s, but it seems like its cultural impact's really, you know, kind of, like, outsized, like, an outsized thing of its, you know.
Yeah, it kind of had a similar impact as, say, like, The Exorcist or Salem's Lot or, you know, it was just part of the zeitgeist at the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And like I said, even people who haven't seen the original movie...
Use terminology for this.
If you say, like, Stepford Wife, everybody knows what you mean, which is kind of amazing in a way.
If you haven't seen this one, it's free on YouTube right now.
Yeah, for now, until somebody gets it. Although it's been up there for a while. There's, like, a really good channel. I can't remember what the channel is called, but he has, like, all kinds of, like, really cool 70s and 80s, like, TV movies and, like, just old kind of forgotten horror movies. And he's got all kind of good shit on there.
It's kind of like a science fiction movie along the lines of Westworld in a certain way, but it's more sinister, kind of like Rosemary's Baby.
Same author,
yeah. It's dudes replacing their wives with perfect robots. Artificial robot of their wife. Kind of a social commentary of the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Really. Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it's interesting because the movie is very much, it's pretty much the textbook definition of a slow burn, but that was what I liked about it. And they did a remake of it in 2004, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, because that was horrifying. Yeah. But the thing I liked about this one is that it really kind of took its time, and the shit that happens, like, after they move to Stepford, is just very, very subtle. So it's almost kind of like you think maybe she's being paranoid. Now, like I said, the movie came out in 1975, and it was based on the novel, or actually I guess it was a novella because it was kind of short, The Stepford Wives by Ira Levin, who was also the guy that wrote Rosemary's Baby. And this has a very similar vibe of, like, a woman who's, like, at the center of this conspiracy, and everyone is telling her that she's crazy and that what she's perceiving is not correct. So it's a very similar kind of theme to that. So yeah. I guess Ira Levin kind of, he wrote A Kiss Before Dying too, which was awesome, but I can't remember if the theme to that was similar. But he was, like, really good at doing these kind of, like, satirical, because this is a satirical horror, but it is pretty creepy too.
Yeah, this guy takes his wife into this new community called Stepford.
Yeah, it's in Connecticut.
It's in Connecticut.
They're from New York City.
Yeah, and, you know, they just, she's checking out the neighbors, you know, and it's just like the neighbors, these guys are all rich, and they got these perfect wives, you know, they're real hot, you know, the dudes are not that hot.
Yeah, they're all, like, schlubby kind of looking.
Yeah, and they act real strange, you know, they're perfect homemakers. There's, like, little episodes of guys trying to make moves on other guys' wives. It's weird. Because she's watching them from afar. She doesn't really know what the hell's going on. And I think the husband doesn't quite know what's going on until they've been there for a while.
Now, here's something that... I watched this movie again. Like, I've seen it, like, a whole bunch of times, but I hadn't seen it for several years. So I watched it again a few days ago for this review. And one aspect of it that I hadn't remembered was that shortly after moving to Stepford, the husband has, like, a very weird, like, exchange with the guy that lives across the street from them. Like, they're both out by their mailbox, like, getting their mail or something. And he says to the neighbor that, because the neighbor lady had, like, brought them a casserole when they first moved in. And he says to the other guy, he says something like, she looks as good as she cooks or something like that, which led me to believe that he knew about the whole swapping our wives with sex bots thing before he moved there, and that was why he moved there. Because you find out later on, I mean, the main character, Joanna Eberhardt, who's played by Catherine Ross, and she is, like, really, really great in this, but, you know, she was from New York City. She was, like, a photographer. She was trying to break into, like, photography, trying to take her stuff around to galleries and stuff like that. It kind of comes to light later on with an argument that she's having with her husband, Walter, that she did not really want to move to Stepford. I mean, he basically made the decision without really consulting her, because she says to him at one point, she's like, you know, it's like, you talked about moving here and you had already been looking at houses. She's like, you know, we came to look at this house and you had already put a down payment on it. So he kind of like railroaded her into moving because she's like a big city girl and she didn't really not want to move to this like weird ass suburb, but she's kind of like going along with it. She's like, oh, it'll be safer for the kids and blah, blah.
Yeah, I guess you're right. He would have had to have known what the place was.
That's what I mean. And
it was a lot like, if you guys ever saw Westworld.
Yeah.
It's like an amusement park, but it's an exact replica of a perfect suburban upper class neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it blends in with the rest of America. Nobody knows that this is like a theme park. And all these guys have this pact. When they show up there, they eventually kill the wife and replace her with one of these. It's like a sex bot.
Yeah.
Like a robot.
But she also cooks and cleans and stuff.
And it's pretty weird. It was weirder for the day because people really weren't real familiar with the idea of AI and the whole idea of a sex bot, I think, was kind of rare back in those days. Nowadays, they got damn companies that'll sell you a sex bot that, you know what I mean? It doesn't walk. But they got the thing where it'll talk and it'll hook up to Siri. Yeah, I don't understand it, you know. But they got guys that are into that. This woman brought one onto a talk show just the other day. I think it was with what's his name? Joe Rogan. This woman brings a replica sex bot of herself onto Joe Rogan, and it was talking. Yeah, it was talking, but it was talking through Siri in a special program. But, you know, this is going on now. So I think modern people really, this is not going to have the same impact on.
Yeah, obviously it's going to have, it had a much bigger impact in the 70s because that was still like kind of a novel concept.
And taboo subject. It'd be like, what?
Well, not so much because the whole, the guy who runs Stepford, Dale Coba, used to work for Disney. Meaning that he like built like in the Hall of Presidents where they have like those animatronic people.
Yeah.
So like he was, and all of his little circle of friends are also like scientists and engineers and artists and stuff like that. So they're all kind of like in on this conspiracy.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, I mean, is this thing growing? Do they plan on just eventually replacing all the women with these robots?
See, I don't really know
if... And then it grows, because they were bringing guys, it was almost like a cult.
Yeah.
Guys had to, you know, agree to this, and they kept it secret.
And it didn't happen, like, it didn't happen immediately. It's like, usually it was after, I think that at one point, like, near the end, where Catherine Ross's character goes to, like, an analyst, because she's not sure if she's right about her suspicions about the conspiracy, which she is, spoiler alert, or if she's going crazy, like, her husband made her go to a therapist, because he's like, oh, you're crazy, even though he knows perfectly well what's going on. But I think she said that it had been 4 months. Because what ends up happening is that, I mean, she moves to this town, and it's just little things like that are just off. They seem very off. Like, the women seem kind of like super vapid. It's like they're super jazzed about like cleaning products. Yeah. All their houses are spotless. They always look perfect.
Like, they're always wearing aprons.
Yeah, they always have aprons. They look like June Cleaver. They always have high heels, like perfect makeup. Like, even when they're just like walking around the grocery store or whatever.
And then once they get replaced, of course, the personalities totally change.
Yeah.
This woman's friends start getting replaced, and, you know, all of a sudden they're only interested in housework. And
that's one of the creepiest things, because when she first moves there, there are actually a couple of women that haven't been there long enough to have been replaced yet, so they're still, like, fairly normal. So she ends up meeting this one woman named Bobby, who is actually, like, a really cool character, and it's like, the two of them become friends because they're like, what the fuck? Like, everything is so weird around here, and why are all the women such weirdos? And so those two, like, kind of bond over this stuff, and they both feel like something really bad is going on. And then they make friends with this other woman who is played by the same woman that played Ginger on Gilligan's Island, that redhead one.
Tina Louise?
Yeah. And, you know, so she comes to, like, because they're trying to set up, because they're, you know, it's the 70s, they're very, like, you know, into feminism and stuff, so they're trying to set up, like, a feminism group, because, you know, the men's club, they have their club, and no women are allowed.
Yeah, that goes over like a fucking fart in a spacesuit.
Right,
too.
And it's like, well, they don't realize that, I mean, this is pretty early on, so they don't realize that, like,
most of the women are robots in it.
That most of them are robots, so it's like they have this meeting, and it's like, no one has any questions, and like, then suddenly, like, one of them starts talking about some starch, like, some spray starch or something, and then she gets, like, all orgasmic about it, like she's in a commercial.
Yeah, yeah. They start quoting like television commercials.
Right, so.
And, well, they were saying, don't you guys have any complaints about housework? And they were talking about, saving time. And then the next thing you know, they all started talking about that. All the robots are talking about what products save the most time, and which is something I think a robot might.
Well, yeah, because that's their only concern. Yeah, saving time. I mean, their only concern is
saving time doing the job they were assigned to do.
Is serving their husbands. Yeah. I mean, that's all they're supposed to do. And there's actually a very funny scene in there too, where when Bobby and Joanna are going around trying to, like, you know, Shanghai women into this feminist meeting that they're doing, and they kind of like wander into this one house where this woman.
It's a great scene.
And she can hear. And they can hear, like, them having sex upstairs, and the woman is just going totally over the top.
She's calling him the king.
The champion.
The champion.
Like, and she's, like, screaming her head off and everything like that. Yeah. And then, like, later on, like, you've kind of forgotten about that scene, but then later on, they're in, like, the pharmacy or something, or, like, in the pharmacy. And, like, Bobby says, the other one says, look at that guy over there. And it's just this schlubby, like, gross dude with glasses. She's like, that's Frank. You're the champ, Frank. You're the best, Frank. That's him. Yeah. And it's like he has, like, this super hot wife, but he looks like just
he just looks like this schlubby creep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it makes sense, you know, when you look at it from 21st century eyes. Yeah, that's exactly the way damn store-bought sex bot would be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to have settings.
Yeah.
So he's going to put settings on. You know?
It's just very fun. And like I said, this is much more a satirical drama. Yeah. It's satirical, but it is a horror movie. I mean, it is very creepy, particularly at the end, after Bobby gets turned into a sex bot, you know, Ginger gets turned into a sex bot. I think Bobby getting turned into a sex bot is the creepiest, because Joanna is like, you know, that was her only friend, like the only normal person left in Stepford that she could talk to. And then she goes over to the woman's house, and the woman suddenly got this long dress on. She's got bigger tits. She's got like a different hairdo.
Yeah, that's another thing. Of course, when they replaced these wives, they improved them too.
Yeah.
They had big old asses on them, big tits and asses on them. And remember how they were walking with the swish and shit? You know? Yeah.
They did that. And then
I think the movie kind of came from a point to where in a place and time where there was like a culture clash going on. You had guys who were probably, you know, complaining about the way women were acting in the 70s, because these are now these new liberated women. They were probably kind of complaining in the normal, you know, openly kind of in public, probably on talk shows and shit like that, that these women were kind of not as good as they were probably like in the 50s.
You know, because they weren't, they're not doing what we tell them to do anymore.
There was like a damn culture clash.
And
I think it was, the movie was kind of a satire on that.
Well, it was.
These dudes are going to replace these women with damn robots that act just like June Cleaver.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the whole
point. Well, June Cleaver crossbred with a porn star.
Yeah,
you know,
because obviously you have to have
that. That's really what it was, yeah.
I mean, that's what Ira Levin wrote it as. Yeah. He wrote it as a satire. The weird thing to me, though, is that when this movie came out...
Now that I'm thinking about it, that's scary. That might happen.
Yeah.
That might happen with the technology. What if dudes stop marrying women or stop dating women? They just, instead of buying cars, they just buy these damn AI sex bots.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I mean... one less man for me to clean up after.
Well, you don't clean up after me.
I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, it's not a big loss. I have a sex bot.
Yeah, but then there's, what about the human race, though? Where there's no children being born.
Yeah, well.
And then they have to, what, make test tube babies to make sure that kids are born?
Yeah, I guess they could probably do
that. Weird, yeah.
But yeah, so the interesting thing about it is that when this movie came out, There was a small like vocal contingent of people that thought that it was anti-feminist, like it was making fun of feminists. And I'm like, if anything, it's making fun of the men that were threatened by the feminists, because the men are the bad guys. I mean, the men
murdered
all their wives and replaced them. I mean, the whole point of the movie is that's what the men wanted. They wanted.
Yeah, but let's be clear. It was those men. It wasn't.
Men. I'm not saying that.
Some people
might
interpret what you're saying as
no.
That all the men.
I'm just saying that the men in this movie, that particular group of guys. The men in this movie were the bad guys. So I don't really see how anyone could read it as like making fun of the feminists, because they were the hero. That, I mean, Joanna's character was the one that you sympathized with, and you were scared for her and her kids and stuff like that, because, you know, this whole, like, conspiracy was, like, closing in around her.
Well, look, here's the problem with the movie. The movie didn't age too well, because these so-called feminist women in this movie weren't feminists by today's standards. They're just normal women.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about?
Well, that's what I mean. That's
they were just kind of normal women. They'd be the normal women that you'd find today.
Well, yeah, actually, they were just women. They,
like Gen X women.
They had, well, they had jobs and they had careers and interests like outside of the home. And it's like, even in the 50s, I don't think women were like they were portrayed in this movie, obviously. It's like women have always been just like normal human beings.
Yeah.
But that was kind of like the point of the satire.
I've mentioned it before, you know. My grandmother, you know, she would kind of laugh, you know, when I'd go visit her in Mississippi, my grandmother, my dad, you know, down in Mississippi. I'd sit up there and watch television when I was a kid. You know, you're watching Beverly Hills, Hillbillies, and all these old sitcoms from the 50s. And she'd just laugh. She'd be like, people weren't like that.
No, they never were.
Yeah, and she told me that, you know, and she was from that generation. She said most women worked.
They did,
had jobs.
They did.
And that they basically did the same thing that...
I mean, you had to.
Yeah. Yeah, there was... they still needed two incomes back then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, depending if you were like working class or
right,
middle class.
Yeah. Working people and middle class people to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because the new version of the middle class really was a thing of the 70s.
Yeah.
Late 70s, early 80s. You know, it was kind of like the beginning of the yuppies.
Yeah.
And that didn't exist then.
Right. It's like, I think like a lot of families, despite what they showed on like 50s sitcoms, a lot of families couldn't afford just have the man work and support.
Yeah,
a bunch of kids and stuff.
That happened because of World War II. All these guys coming back from the war, and the government and the military had basically merged with Hollywood, and that was all government propaganda. They were trying to get guys coming back from the war
to like normalize,
And integrate, and to make this new middle class that they were envisioning, and they were going to make them the workers in these car factories, and then there was going to be suburbs. And it did happen. It just didn't last long.
Yeah.
30 years, maybe.
Yeah.
It started to break down.
But yeah.
30, 40 years.
The thing about this movie, though, it's actually pretty similar to the novel, which I read a long time ago. The movie was directed by Brian Forbes, who also, go check out Seance on a Wet Afternoon. That's the same director, and that is a really, really awesome movie. Somebody turned me onto it like several years ago, and I was like, how could I never see this? Now, the screenplay for this was actually written by William Goldman, who many people will know as the writer of The Princess Bride, All the President's Men, Marathon Man, all stuff like that. Now, apparently, William Goldman had a way darker ending for this movie. And the ending for this movie is pretty dark. I mean, spoiler alert, but Joanna gets Stepfordized. She doesn't escape. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And what's weird, it's implied that they use the female robots to kill the wives.
The
guys don't do it.
Well, yeah, because they wouldn't want to get their hands dirty.
No, they just tell the other robots to do it.
They just tell the robot to do it. So that's actually one of the best scenes. Like, there's a really long extended sequence where, you know, Joanna has figured out what's going on and that, you know, the men are turning the women into sex bots. And she goes to, like, the men's club, which is this big creepy mansion, because her children have been taken there. And she wants to go rescue them and get the fuck out of Dodge. Also, she cracks her husband in the head. They don't say whether he died or not. I mean, he probably could have survived that, but she does crack his skull with a fireplace poker. So she goes to this creepy-ass place, and she runs into, you know, the guy that worked at Disney, the guy that runs everything, and the guy that builds all the robots, presumably, Dale Koba. And then she steps into this one room, while she's trying to run away from him, and she steps into this one room that is, like, almost a perfect replica of her and her husband's bedroom at home, which they built to, like, train the robot, I guess, to, like, walk around in there.
The conceptualization of how AI is not really quite clear.
Well, like I said, this
is a long time ago.
And plus, you know, it's a satire.
Right.
It's not, like,
hard science fiction. Yeah.
So it's, like, you know, anything that kind of gets the plot going. And it's super creepy, too, because she walks in on her robot replica, but it's not finished yet. And, like, the eyes are all black, and she has, like, big, way bigger titties.
Yeah.
And, like, you can kind of in this see-through kind of thing.
Super yeah, to creepy. Me, it was kind of like Westworld. And,
yeah, it's similar.
Yeah, if you guys ever seen Westworld, you know, Yul Brynner kind of plays the original Terminator. But they were doing that to them when it came time to kill, for the robots to kill a woman, you know what I mean? They kind of went Terminator. Their eyes would go black and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Although, yeah. I mean, like, in Stepford Wives, her eyes were black because she wasn't done yet.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they
she wasn't done. Is that
yeah,
why it was?
Because he said, you came a little bit early. We actually weren't done with your...
Okay.
That was, like, the whole conversation.
That's the only thing that they ever show you of that. They never... I don't... They didn't ever show a robot kill anybody, did they?
No. The only thing that happens that Joanna stabs her friend Bobby after her Bobby has been Stepfordized because she's trying to prove that she's like not a human.
Right.
So she just like stabs her, and then Joanna's like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. Yeah,
and she just takes the knife out, and then she starts glitching out like, "I thought we were friends. I was just gonna make you some kind." She starts running around the kitchen like.
Yeah, it's funny because the robots do glitch out sometimes out in public. And the husband has to make excuses for her, you know,
like,
to try to cover
it up. Drunk
or she's drunk.
She's drunk. Yeah. Or something like that.
I told you, you're drinking too much, and he escorts her away because she's repeating herself like a damn broken
record.
That
was one of the first things that, like, alerted Joanna that something was weird was that there was, like, when she was at the grocery store, there was, like, a little minor fender bender in the parking lot, and one of the robot wives, I guess she hit her head or something, and then she just kept repeating herself over and over.
Yeah.
But then they took her... Like, they take her out, and they say they're taking her to the hospital, but Joanna's like, well, you know, I didn't think the hospital was that way, but whatever. And then later on, there's this garden party, and that woman starts glitching out, and she just walks around saying, like, I'll just die if I don't get that recipe.
Yeah, right.
I'll just die if I don't get it. Right. She, like, keeps telling everybody that, and her husband has to be like, let's go.
Yeah, the husband ushered her out of there, making excuses like that she was not feeling well or they're drunk. That's what it was.
Yeah, it's just, like, the craziest.
She was taking her medicine and drinking at the same time, something like that. I don't know what it was.
Now, the interesting thing, too, like I said, this seemed to have, like, a very large cultural impact, like, you know, much larger than, you know, than you would think. They actually made 3 sequels to this and a remake, which I want to talk about in a minute. Now, of the sequels, I've seen 2 of them. I saw Revenge of the Stepford Wives, which came out in 1980, that had a very young Don Johnson in it. Also had Sharon Gless from Cagney and Lacey and Queer as Folk, if you watch that. Also, Julie Kavner, who she was the voice of one of Marge Simpson's sisters, or both of them, I can't remember. But she was in this too. This was actually not bad. It's on YouTube for free if you want it. It's called Revenge of the Stepford Wives. It kind of had a similar concept where Sharon Gless played a character who was like a journalist or reporter or something like that, and she had heard about Stepford, and it's like, oh, they have like the lowest crime of anywhere, and it's like supposed to be this perfect place to live, and she thought that was a little weird, so she was gonna go like check it out. So she wasn't actually moving there, but then she meets, like, you know, Julie Kavner's character, who is very much the Bobby character of this movie, where she's kind of like a slob and she's kind of like foul-mouthed and funny and shit like that. You know, she actually has a personality, so you know that she's going to get Stepfordized. But the weird thing about this is that it's not really consistent with the first movie. In the first movie, they made it pretty clear that they were killing the wives and making a robot replica of them. I mean, that was the whole reason why they drew all those pictures of all her features. They recorded her voice, like, saying a whole bunch of different words and shit like that. But in this one, it was more like... they were doing some kind of weird, like, brain thing, like some brain procedure on them. And then they would keep it going by, they had like these sirens, like really loud sirens that would go throughout the town, like 4 times a day. And then all the women were on thyroid medication, quote unquote. So they had to take this pill like 4 times a day.
So it's mind control more than.
Yeah. Because at some point, you know, Sharon Gless's character, who's like the main character who's investigating all this shit, she actually is able to snap her friend out of it, which in the original one you wouldn't have been able to do because the person was dead. They had made, you know, a fucking robot out of them. So I just thought that was really weird that they didn't keep it. But I liked the movie otherwise. It had a very similar... It had a lot of the similar story beats to the first one, but I just thought that was weird. They made one also called The Stepford Children, which had Barbara Eden in it. That came out in 87, but I haven't seen that one. However... I did see the one that came out in 1996. It was called The Stepford Husbands. Now, that was made for TV. I think it was made for Lifetime, if I'm not mistaken.
96,
yeah.
That couldn't be good.
It wasn't as bad as I was expecting. Yeah. I was expecting it to be like super cheeseball. The thing about it, though, and this is something that bothered me while I was watching, I enjoyed it, you know, in a cheesy Lifetime movie kind of way. But the conceit doesn't work as well the other way around. You know
they
what
had
I
all
mean?
The guys like Chippendale dancers with damn bow ties on. Right?
That's not what they did, though.
What they did to them?
Well, what they did
just
was
made
that...
them workers. They just work, and make money.
No. That's not what they did at all.
Okay.
You moved to this town. Like, this had like some pretty famous people. Like Louise Fletcher was in it. She was like the matriarch of the town. So apparently, at some point, Stepford, like the women were like, "Fuck you, man." We're like switching the script.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, what they did was they had the men coming there. And, you know, these were all, like, so they had a women's society that was all, like, these high-powered career women. you know, with their big shoulder pads and whatnot.
Yeah, from 96.
Yeah, they still had shoulder pads then. And basically, it didn't work because in the original Stepford Wives, I mean, the whole point was that the guys just wanted essentially sex bots and maids. I mean, yeah. They didn't want the woman to have any thoughts of her own. They wanted her to be completely subservient, shit like that. But in the Stepford Husbands, basically all the women want, and they're not making robots of them, they were just doing some kind of like mind control cocktail drug, something like that. All the women wanted was for the dudes to like help them out around the house more and like help them watch the kids and like not be such aggressive assholes. That's okay. All they wanted, which seemed like a pretty reasonable, like, yeah. And the thing about it is that the main husband at the center of the thing, Mike, who's played by Michael Ontkane, he was such a douche, like, in the beginning of this. Like, he's, like, throwing glasses against the wall. It's like, he's, you know, he's, like, this petulant man-child. So, like, the whole time I was like, I could not sympathize with him because I'm like, yes, please, pull out his brain. I was like, he's such a dick.
Well, it sounds like the series went to shit, if you ask me.
It's just, like I said, it's, you know, the conceit, it was an enjoyable movie, but the conceit doesn't really work the other way around. That's
no,
what
it had to be more extreme. It had to be that guys just go out and make money and bring the paycheck home, you know what I mean? And then the wife has boyfriends and all, you know, that would be, that's
yeah,
how I would
see,
do
that's
it.
What I mean. It's
that's
like,
how I would do
it just seemed
none of this
like
stuff about watching the kids, because most guys would do that anyway.
That's what I mean.
They would,
it's like
most guys did that anyway back in the 90s.
Right. And that's what I mean. So it's like, that's why it didn't seem like what the women wanted the men to be like, and you know, why they were changing them was not anything unreasonable. Right. It's like, oh, well, I'd actually like my husband to listen to me when I talk. That's like all they're asking for, which is not an unreasonable thing to ask for. It's not like they were trying to like make them slaves or anything like that. They just wanted them to pull their weight. So, and stop being like I said, just stop laying around on the couch drinking beer and watching sports instead of like helping out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's the 90s problems.
I guess so. Yeah. It was like, yeah. Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the remake, because this was an abomination unto the Lord. Yeah. And I actually, for some whatever reason, I actually paid money to see this in the fucking theater.
Damn.
Which is one of the, I don't know why I did. Because how could this have gone well? I don't know. And it had like a bunch of famous people. It fucking, you know, what's her face?
Was Nicole Kidman in that?
Nicole Kidman was in it. Matthew Broderick was in it. Bette Midler was in it. And it's like, but one, it's not a horror movie. It's a comedy.
Okay.
And it's a camp comedy. It's very over the top.
Yeah, they fucked up.
And it's like, why the fuck would you do that? I mean, look, this like concept can be done as a horror movie. Jordan Peele did it with Get Out. Yeah. This, which was basically an update of the Stepford Wives.
Imagine if they like made a horror movie of like you know, Rosemary's Baby. That wouldn't work.
A comedy of Rosemary's
Baby.
Yeah,
a comedy of Rosemary's Baby. That wouldn't work.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work. Yeah. It's the thing is, you could do a dark comedy of this, but the remake was not it. Yeah. I mean, the remake was just this ridiculous kind of like it. And the thing about it, too, is that it had these ridiculous scenes, and it was directed by Frank Oz, for Christ's sake, who is an awesome human being, but I think even he regretted it later. He's like, oh, they just gave me too much money, and I just lost my fucking mind. I don't know what I was doing. And a lot of the actors that were in it were kind of like, yeah, that was a piece of shit. I wish I hadn't done it. Even Matthew Broderick said, man, I would have been really sad if that was the last movie I ever did.
Right.
But, because it wasn't a fun experience. But it had these fucking crazy scenes, like the one scene, like, the similar scene where, you know, the main character, like, discovers that her best friend has been turned into a Stepford wife. Bette Midler was actually the friend, and she gets stabbed or something like that, and her fucking, she starts glitching out. She tears open her shirt, so her bra is there. She has all these buttons, like, this button, like, makes her have an orgasm. This button makes her tits bigger. Like, I was, and the bots have remote controls. Like, the men's have remote control so they can control the thing. And then, like, then her whole chest opens and there's, like, beers in there. Oh. And then, like, her head flies off and starts spinning. It's just, like, the stupidest thing. They cut that out of the movie. Right. But I saw it on, like, another review. Like, somebody put that in there because they had the Blu-ray. But the whole point, they missed the whole point of the original movie, too. I mean, because at the end, you find out that the person behind Stepford is a woman played by Glenn Close. And she's like, oh, well, I was this bitter career woman, and my husband was cheating on me with his research assistant or something like that. So I murdered both of them and turned them into robots for some reason. And then she's going to, like, robotify everybody? It's
that
like, it made no fucking sense at all.
Right.
And also, it had, like, a happier ending because Nicole Kidman just pretends to be Stepford Wives, and then it turns out that her and her husband, like, conspired to free all the other women. Because, again, they weren't being turned into robots, necessarily. They were just being, like, mind-controlled. So it could be reversed.
That sounds like a waste of time.
So it was, it was a really a misfire. That's the kindest way that I can say it.
Yeah, but this movie's actually the original.
Yeah.
Actually, it's pretty good. But I would say it's really probably only an important movie in the context of the time in which it came out.
Yeah, if you can kind of go back to that time period and think about what it was like.
If you were into, say, like Westworld, Rosemary's Baby, Demon Seed, you'd probably like this.
The movie. Legacy, this is a bit that too. It's paced very similar, and Catherine Ross is in it too, like playing the main character.
But
so
if you're
like
looking
her.
For something that's fast paced and exciting, you know, by modern standards, no,
it's definitely not. It's a slow paced drama, and like I said, I kind of wish that I could see it not knowing what the secret was, because it would be like a creepy, like, whodunit, because now everybody knows, oh, they're all robots.
I think they knew they were all robots when the movie came out, even during the trailers. So it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, if you had read the book, it came out 3 years earlier, and that was a bestseller.
Yeah, because I think they knew even when it came out what the movie was about.
Yeah, true. But like I said, I really did like the slow buildup of, like, just little tiny weird things. Like I said, like the car accident in the parking lot. It's like just little weird shit, and it just kind of like builds up and builds up. But like I said, I like that ambiguous thing where it's like she thinks she's going nuts because she's like, maybe this stuff isn't a big deal, maybe I am imagining it, maybe. And then they even go to like the EPA to like check the water, which is the first thing you would do, because they're like, maybe there's tranquilizers in the water, like making all these women act like this or anything like that. But yeah, so go check it out. It's actually free on YouTube right now, as are Revenge of the Stepford Wives and The Stepford Husband. Stepford Children might be on there too, but I couldn't find it. But I did watch the other two, just to... And like I said, the remake, please don't watch it. Don't give it any money. If you really want to watch it, then find it for free somewhere. Pirate that shit, because, like, don't give anybody any money for that fucking thing. It was terrible. But yeah, so that will do it for our latest retrospective. We will see you next time. Bye.